You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the post-game wrap-up show here at DolphinsTalk.com, brought to you by BetUS. I am your host, Mike, joined as always by Tom Earnesty. Tom, how are you doing today?
I am good. It's been a fun weekend. It's just been me and the girl, my daughter, just hanging out. So just forewarning everyone watching live, there may be an appearance from my daughter if she can't get to sleep.
Special appearance on this very special edition of the post-game wrap-up show. And I promise everyone, I'm just going to say it up top, we are not going to talk about Deshaun Watson on the show. I did a 45-minute podcast Saturday night. You want to hear all of our views on Watson, go listen to the 45 minutes I did on Watson Saturday night. We're just going to talk about the game today. We're going to talk about the news in the world of Miami Dolphins that's not Watson. And we're going to give and talk about the 53-man roster and what may and may not be happening there come this Tuesday. So, I like that comment.
That's amazing.
First off, big shout out to everyone who is listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. And a big shout out to everyone at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group run by the great Carlos Hernandez. If you want to interact with fans on Facebook, check them out. And if you're watching on YouTube, Tom, smash that like button and subscribe to the channel. Smash it. So before we get to the game, let's talk about the trade that took place Saturday. The Miami Dolphins swapped late round picks with the Baltimore Ravens and acquired guard slash center Greg Manns. I like the trade. Not that Manns is an all-world player. Not that he's great, but he's probably more reliable than a lot of the second-string guys we have currently on this offensive line. I think it spells the end of Matt Skura here in Miami. It was a one-year deal, not a lot of money, so kind of no harm, no foul. But the guy, you know, he just can't snap the ball. He had problems last year with the Ravens snapping, and this past week in practice, he had trouble snapping. You know, he still could make the roster, I guess. I'd just be a little surprised at this point. Greg Manns, in 2016 with Houston, he started all 16 games. Since then, he's played here and there as a backup. I just think on Miami, that's the type of guy they need. He's just a little bit better, Tom, than some of the guys we have.
Yeah, you know, it's the continued circle of life for the Miami Dolphins when it comes to the offensive line. It seems like they're trying to address it too late. You know, you had all spring, you had all those camps to figure out what you had and then try to make some moves at that point or do it during free agency. Obviously, you know, bringing in Matt Skura on a cheap deal, they figured that he could be the center for the team and he still has the yips. And, you know, they had to make a change. Obviously, Matt Skura, I don't think we even saw him in this game. So
he played. Sure. He played the whole game, I think. Yeah.
Well, some of those snaps looked a little off, but it seems at this stage, you know, Michael Dieter at this point seems like he's going to be a lock to start right away. We'll see what happens over the next 2 weeks, but you know, the continued trades of picks for offensive linemen eventually needs to come to an end. They have invested so much time and effort into the offensive line that it needs to eventually just stop. They got to go with the five guys that make the most sense and go and see what happens.
They don't do it right. And it's the problem that they seem to have to where they always try to fix this with youth. And I know they drafted Liam Eichenberg, who I think is going to be really good, but this offensive line needed a veteran presence. You cannot keep going out with first and second year guys and think they're not going to have any type of growing pains and think they're just going to be, you know, high-end players right off the bat. Austin Jackson, second-year guy. Robert Hunt, second-year guy. Liam Eichenberg, first-year guy. Solomon Kinley, second-year guy. Michael Dieter's a third-year guy who's never really played all that much outside of 2019. You need a veteran or two. Yep. And we had some veterans. We let them go. We traded away the one guy to Washington there, whose name slips my mind right now. And they also refused to sign the center, Ted Karras, as Tom is going to run after his daughter. So they just, you know, sign a veteran. It's not against the rules to pay a veteran. Yeah, signing a veteran in free agency costs a little bit more, no doubt. It costs a little bit more. But sometimes it's what's needed. And sometimes you need a veteran presence to, you know, have some stability on the offensive line. And we just refuse to do it. Or we'll sign a guy, and the name is Eric Flowers. I'm sorry, just popped back in my head. You know, not that he's the greatest. He's not. But he's probably a little better than some of the guys we currently got. And we're paying most of his contract to play for someone else anyways. So this offensive line, Greg Manns, I think he's, you know, he'll be one of the first guys off the bench as your number two center, as a guard off the bench in a pinch should you need him. He's, you know, he's not an all-world player, but he won't hurt you either, Manns. And I said this, it obviously won't be right away. But in a month or so, if we are seeing our center, Michael, you know, sort of, if he's having a rough time, Manns, he's a guy who could overtake him very easily, because I don't have a lot of confidence at all in Michael Dieter.
I'm back. I'm sorry, my dog.
No, you're fine.
To finish your last sentence, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence either in Michael Dieter, but obviously he's shown the team enough. That,
look at nobody else.
But, you know, he went from like a second or third string kind of guy, or, you know, swing center guard kind of combo guy, to being the center from what, May all the way until now. Yeah. So he's done a better, obviously he's done a better job. Is he the next Mike Pouncey? Absolutely not. You know, we got, you know, eventually the Dolphins have to figure out how to coach these guys and how to develop these guys.
Or just sign a veteran or two, just spend some money. It's not that tough. It's really not.
And, you know, and as of right now, the Dolphins are pegged to have about $62 million before really anything really starts. So it's going to be a work in progress, but they got to stick to the five guys from here on going into week one against New England. You can't keep mixing and matching. Pick your starting five and let them go. They need to gel.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the game, and let's talk about this final preseason game. A lot of the, you know, first-string guys, they were out this game. They didn't play. So it was a lot of the backups from Miami. And Tom, watching Reed Sennett carve up the Cincinnati Bengals secondary like a bunch of Ron Popeil knives carving a piece of prime rib was really something. It was unreal. So the Cincinnati Bengals, it was an outstanding performance, I thought, by Reed Sennett. He carved them up, baby. He just carved up that secondary. And I thought the Cincinnati Bengals – it was a nice win. Obviously, the big pass at the end of the game is what everyone will remember. But if you want to start with our weekly rundown, jump in. Let's go.
Yeah, let's get to it. You know, the game itself was actually really fun for a final preseason game. Normally, we don't get into, you know, seeing a third and final preseason game with all the backups, second, third string, even guys that may not even be on a practice squad play football, but this was a very fun game to watch. Both teams open up with punts and three and outs, and then Reed Sennett takes the team 13 plays, 74 yards, a little over 7 minutes on the drive. A very nice drive from Gerald Dokes, which ended in a Gerald Dokes 3-yard touchdown run. Reed Sennett was wheeling and dealing on this drive too. He was very methodical with the football. It was a very good drive that led to a score. And Jared Dokes looked, you know, he looked promising, and he definitely looked like he was making a case to try to crack the roster.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Jared Dokes. I think he'll probably get the fourth running back spot, but the issue is he'll probably survive Tuesday, but once these other teams start making moves, if Miami finds a higher quality running back that they have to add, I think there's going to be an issue of him sort of surviving that next round that comes, that next wave on Wednesday or Thursday. So I think with Dokes, I think he'll make the first cut on Tuesday, be on the 53, come Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know if he'll still be on the team, though.
Dad duty's calling. Hold on.
She's okay, take care. I'm going to vamp. So here's the deal. So they go for a touchdown. Then the Cincinnati Bengals answer 9 plays, 75 yards on a touchdown. Cincinnati ties it up at 7. It was a Chris Evans pass from Brandon Allen for 29 yards. They make the extra point. It's 7-7. Next, on the next series, the Miami Dolphins throw an interception. Reed's sent pass was off the fingers of Kirk Merritt, and the Cincinnati Bengals made a nice play, intercepted the ball. Cincinnati takes over, goes 9 plays, 26 yards, ends in a 36-yard field goal. Yep, 36-yard field goal for Cincinnati. They take a 10-7 lead, which then the Miami Dolphins come storming back. They go 11 plays, 75 yards in 6 minutes and 4 seconds, and score on a Jared Doakes 1-yard touchdown run. Jared Doakes taking it from 1 yard. Jared Doakes had a nice game today overall. For the day, he ran 16 carries, 56 yards for 2 touchdowns. It was a nice play. So, you know, Jared Doakes punches it in from 1 yard, easy for me to say. And then the Cincinnati Bengals go 7 plays, 54 yards in a minute 18, and kick a bomb of a 57-yard field goal before time expires. And they go into the half down by 1, 14-13. So at the half, let's break this down. And let's get to that time in the show as Tom is away taking care of his daughter. This is the first on the post-game wrap-up show. So, do you like playing with your balls? I'm not talking about footballs. I mean your balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to shave your pubes with the Tom Brady of ball trimmers, the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0, only the GOAT technology for the greatest balls of all time. When you're going towards the end zone, make sure you use the right tools for the job and choose Manscaped. 2 million men worldwide trust them. So join the movement with our exclusive offer by using the promo code Dolphins Talk to save 20% and get free shipping. That's right. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 20% your order and get free shipping. The Performance Package 4.0 for Manscaped is the perfect package for your package and a key for great grooming hygiene to make sure your crotch doesn't look like Troy Polamalu. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take your defense to the next level. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 20% your order. Get free shipping. Also, betting season is back, folks. Life is back on sports bettors, and BetUS has your UFC, PGA, college football, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting on all of it. Log in to BetUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS for 125% sign-on bonus when you use the promo code Dolphins Talk. And if you're paying by crypto, Tom, I don't know if you're into crypto or not. If you're paying by crypto, you get a 200% sign-on bonus by using the promo code DolphinsTalk200. So if you think week one that the Miami Dolphins are going to pound the New England Patriots and beat Cam Newton back to Carolina, you want to go to BetUS, place a bet, make a little extra money. If you want to bet the Miami Dolphins to win more than 9.5 games this year, you want to go to BetUS, use a promo code DolphinsTalk, get 125% sign-on bonus and bet the Miami Dolphins on the over. It has all your bettings. And, of course, next weekend, college football's in full swing. Alabama, Miami, Georgia, Clemson, and all the big games. So, everyone, go to BetUS.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Have 125% sign-on bonus. Paying by crypto, DolphinsTalk 200. 200% sign-on bonus. Now, Tom, I just got us up to halftime. If you want to take over. First off, how's everything with your daughter? She okay?
Yeah, she's good. She's been missing mom, so she's having a hard time getting to sleep.
Understandable. So
it's understandable.
You want to take over here in the third quarter?
Always gotta be a dad first before.
Absolutely.
So
it's the preseason, so it's fine.
Yeah, preseason, yeah, it's fine for sure. My wife is always around on Sundays during football season. So all right, let's get to the second half, which opened with a 9-play, 75-yard drive, which ended in a touchdown for Cincinnati to go up 20-14 on a Jacques Patrick 1 yard rush. Shermer, I believe he's a son of the coach, right? Pat Shermer.
Yep.
He definitely had a decent drive to open up the second half, and it ended. Let's see here. Lots of passes. You got a lot of guys involved. Thaddeus Moss, Morgan. You know, he was spreading the ball around a lot. And one guy he was picking on this drive was Noah Igbinoghene. Noah Igbinoghene was absolutely lit up on this drive, and it was very disappointing to see once again that he has not taken that next step yet.
You know, Tom, I just want to remind people, when we took Noah Igbinoghene, we could have had J.K. Dobbins. We could have had DeAndre Swift. We could have had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We could have had – who's the other running back I'm missing? I know I'm missing one more.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, so, you know – No general manager ever bats 100%. I get that. They all have their swings and misses, but that was a bad one.
That's a
bad one. And, you know, I know he hasn't played in a regular season game yet. It's only year two, but when you look who's ahead of him on the depth chart, he ain't going to get on the field in the regular season much at all unless he's running back kickoffs.
So after the teams exchanged punts, Dolphins punted on their next two possessions. Cincinnati sandwiched a punt in between. And after the Dolphins punt, the Bengals go 11 plays, 80 yards in just over 6 minutes, which ended in a Scotty Washington pass from Kyle Shermer for a 9-yard touchdown. The two-point attempt did fail, which actually in the preseason game, it did loom large at the end of the game. Once again, a good drive from Shermer. A very controversial roughing the passer penalty on that drive that really kept it going, which is, you know, I'm going to argue that until I'm blue in the face. It was a
clean the rules.
You know, but that's such a crappy rule.
I know.
I mean, you're tackling a guy like a normal guy in the, you know, running back, and you're wrapping your guy up and bringing him down to the ground. That's not a penalty for anybody other than the quarterback. They got to get this stuff right. I'm sorry. It's football. Football is still football at the end of the day. So anyway, the Dolphins are down 26-14. Figure, hey, let's go start cooking some dinner. Let's go do some, whatever else you want to do around the house. Go play outside with your kids. Not so fast, my friend. The Dolphins go 7 plays, 75 yards, 4 minutes and 7 second drive. Again, Reed Sinnott taking the team down and hit a beautiful, absolutely beautiful on a 44-yard touchdown pass to Kirk Merritt, who got wide open on a 2nd and 22. Mike, at the end of the day, I said it on Twitter, Kirk Merritt, you could put him in ink. I think he's going to crack this roster.
Yeah, there's no chance he's making this roster. We'll talk about it at the end.
I'll leave it with this, and then we can get into the end. What has Preston Williams done in this camp that has impressed you?
He's just a better player. He's done nothing in camp because he's been hurt the entire time, but that's not the point. He has a resume of when he's on the field the past couple of years where he's hurt a lot.
But I like Preston Williams. I'm putting that out there. I like Preston Williams a lot, but Kirk Merritt has shown me more. And I understand Preston Williams. And like I said, the Dolphins have a chance that they could keep 7 wide receivers on this roster.
They're going to keep 7. He's just not one of them, Merritt. And we're going to go through them one by one. And we're going to get there at the end of the show. We'll get there.
Hopefully. The Bengals go 3-and-out and give the Dolphins a chance here with just over 3 minutes left. And it's a 10-play, 80-yard drive. And this is probably going to be the most memorable preseason win for many of us because it ended on a 4th and 15 Hail Mary. The offensive line broke down. Reed Sinnott gets away from 2 pass rushers, throws a heave to the end zone, which miraculously is caught by Chris Myrick for 34 yards. And then they got the 2-point conversion to Malcolm Perry, and the Dolphins take the lead 29-26. And then the Bengals drove 10 plays, 43 yards. Thankfully, he did not kick a field goal to tie the game late when they went for it on 4th down. Noah Igbinoghene with a nice defensive play. breaking it up, and the Dolphins end up winning the game 29-26. It was Reed Sinnott day. It was a very
Reed good Sinnott, game from him. Like I said, it was carving up that Cincinnati Bengals secondary, 22 for 33, 343 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. I'm wondering if you played so well when he's let go, if he's not going to clear waivers now, and they might lose him, unable to put him on the practice squad, because he's looked good this preseason. He really has. As a number three quarterback, you could do a lot worse. So good for him. And if he does land somewhere else, for him, great. I don't know if he will, though, but he opened a lot of eyes. Once again, for a number three quarterback, it is what it is. But, yeah. Wow, he played well.
He did. 108.5 passer rating. He was sacked three times. You know, working with the second, you know,
back end. Offensive line second, was terrible.
Third, yeah, it was not good. Larmel Coleman, not a good performance from him at tackle.
Or Greg Little. But,
you know, again, he was a seventh round pick or undrafted, and you know, you expect that kind of thing from a rookie. Now, is he going to make the roster? No. Does he have a chance to make the practice squad? Yeah, because he's a big guy. You know, the Dolphins need as much help on the offensive line as any team in the NFL.
Yeah. So let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Who's your good? Who's your bad? Who's your ugly?
Oh, the good for me was Kirk Merritt.
Okay.
I was impressed with Kirk Merritt. That his catching ability, his radius is fantastic. He did a great job. Getting open on that 44-yard touchdown, and that jump ball that he had early in the game where he was able to keep his balance, break a tackle, and go for another 5-6 yards. That's the kind of stuff you want out of your wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I'm going to give it to Reed Sinnott just because probably last time we'll see him all year, so might as well give him a little love. The bad, I'm just going Larnell Coleman. He was terrible.
Yeah, he was bad. He was really bad. I am going to go Noah Igbinoghi. I'm sorry. I still am not seeing enough from him. And he had a chance to play the entire game, and being a first-round pick, playing in the third preseason game, which technically like the fourth, but you're playing with all the backups. You're playing with the guys that may not even make the roster, and you still struggled. He still struggled in coverage. He had his moments, all right? No one should give up on Noah Igbinoghi. Again, he's 20 years old. But from a first round pick with that kind of athleticism and promise, you need to produce. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got a feeling we're the only team in the league who probably would have took him in round one. I think we overdrafted him, honestly. But look, as I said last week, you can't go back in a time machine and redo a draft. So it is what it is at this point. Just hope for the best. He's got a couple more years to sort of show something and prove something. But right now it's just not looking very uplifting. And for the ugly, I was just going to stick with the offensive line. I went Greg Little because the offensive line is just a mess. Here's what I think. The starting five ain't awful. It ain't great, but it ain't awful. You can live with the starting five. Just if, God forbid, someone goes down, you know, they can't even play one of these backup offensive. If they lose – someone to injury, say at either left tackle or right tackle. For left tackle, you got to move over Jesse Davis, and you might have to kick Hunt out. Well, no, because they have Eichenberg to put outside. But if something, they're going to have to move like Hunt outside maybe, or move Jesse Davis from right to left. Like, you cannot put in some of these guys like Pankey or Little. They're just not capable players in the NFL. And it's, you know, once again, what do they do all offseason? What do you do? I mean, you had all of March, all of free agency. All the draft, it's just, I don't understand the logic behind some of these moves, but it is what it is. Yeah. You got to play the hand now you're dealt. But I do think when we get to this 53-man roster, like I said, the roster we see on Tuesday after 4 is not going to be the roster that we'll probably see on Thursday, because there's going to be a couple spots, and we're going to go through them here shortly. You know, someone like, you know, either Laird or Jared Doakes, whoever that fourth running back is. Yeah, they're a fourth running back on Tuesday. If a team, and there's going to be teams that cut quality running backs, Miami could put in a claim, grab one, and then he's released Oakes. Same thing with offensive tackles, like Little, Pankey. They might be on the roster Tuesday at 4. They might not be on the roster come Thursday because they're going to – they got to do something. It's just – so before we get to the roster, what are your – I got a list of three big fears which we've pretty much talked about a couple of them, which heading into the season, because I like this roster a lot. I do. Obviously, the second string offensive line, which we've already talked about to death. The center position, which we've talked about to death. Also, I'm not nervous about running back, but I think it's missing something. I don't know what that something is. It's missing a combination of like a Malcolm Brown and a Miles Gaskin. You got Malcolm Brown, who's got some size, can move the pile. Miles Gaskin's more of a little guy. Salvin Ahmed's more of a little guy. If we had someone in between those two, I'd be more happy. Dokes, I don't know if he's going to sort of pick up the pass blocking aspect of this in time to play much, or can he receive out of the backfield? So that kind of scares me with him. But what are some of your fears here heading into the season?
So running back position for me is constantly been a fear, as many of you who've listened to this show for the last 3-4 years, I have been a big proponent of running back, get a bell cow back, get me a guy that can do it. I'm not saying that Miles can't do it, but he is not a guy that's going to carry the ball 25, 30 times a game. I'm sorry. And to help a young quarterback and to help keep the opposing team off balance, you have to have a strong running game. So running back to me is big. You're not going to find a tier one running back on waivers. That's just not going to happen with these cuts. But I think they are going to continue a search. Malcolm Brown has not impressed in camp. Again, he's given me the twitch of Jordan Howard, where, we're just not seeing enough from him. I like Savon Ahmed. I think he's a good change of pace back. And, obviously Miles Gaskin is an all-around running back. He can definitely catch the ball. He can make some plays with the ball in his hand. And, but I still believe they need to get something else.
I know it's not popular, but I would just go sign Adrian Peterson for a year. Every year we say he's done. He's got nothing left. Every year, this guy, he's still getting 60, 70 yards a game. Once again, in Miami, you're not asking him to be the number one lead back. You're not asking him to be part of a committee. And I think as part of a group with what we have, it would work. And with him, he's not going to miss an assignment, picking up a blitz. He can still receive. I just think for a team that won 10 games last year, that wants to win more, that's the type of guy that, he can be our Frank Gore type this year, the veteran that you just use, that you know what you're going to get. And he's not going to make a mistake, because the goal is to win more than 10 games. It's the goal is to make the playoffs. And you can't do that with all first and second year guys. It's not realistic. So that's a guy I would like. We'll see. We'll see what they do. There's going to be so many roster moves over this next week. Wow. We'll just get to it. So let's talk about the 53-man roster, Tom. I want you to convince me that Kirk Merritt belongs on his 53-man roster. So let's go through it and get to 53. Quarterback, Tua and Brissett. You agree?
Yes. Two. I think Sinnott's got a shot at the practice squad.
Yes. Now, running back, I think they'll carry – now, I'm doing this for Tuesday at 4. Whatever happens after that, we'll get to it. Running back, I got them carrying 4. Brown, Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed, and I'll go Jared Doakes as of Tuesday at 4. You see him carrying more, less, 4 good?
I think 4 is good.
Okay. Now we got our long snapper, punter, kicker. We got 3. We know who they are. I'm sure you agree. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at some Patriots moron.
I don't. Ignore that.
I could throw the block. If I get enough people saying throw the block on this guy, I'll throw up the block.
Okay, we'll see. Tight end. I got 4. Mike, Long, Shaheen, and Smythe. You agree?
Yes.
Oh, we're on the same page so far. Let's go offensive line. I got 9. Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Michael Dieter, Robert Hunt, Jesse Davis, Liam Eichenberg, and then Greg Little, Mance, and Pankey. Obviously, guys like Little and Pankey, I think they'll be there Tuesday at 4, but after that, who knows? So I got 9. Is there anybody I'm missing?
I don't think so.
You think there'll be more?
No, but there's that list is definitely going
to
change.
That's going to change. Okay, but nine as of now. Yeah, because I'm trying to think who else. Who did – like they're not keeping Matt Skura. They're not going to keep Robert Jones, Cameron Tom, Larnell Coleman. So, yeah, so I think nine's a safe number there. Yeah. We'll go there. That's everyone on offense. No, wide receivers. Let's go wide receiver now. Okay.
Yeah.
Parker, Will Fuller, Waddle, Preston, Wilson, Hollins, Perry. Who are you? Because that right there is seven, and I don't think they're carrying eight. So out of those seven, and I'm not even going to carry Grant. I got his ass getting cut. Who do you have Kirk Merritt over?
Did you say Perry?
I have Perry.
He's over Perry.
Because here's why. If they're not going to carry Grant, you want Perry on punt return possibly to be a number two.
But here's the other thing you can think of too. You could always look at the running back room. Malcolm Perry could be that slash. They could put him as a running back on the roster technically if they wanted to.
He's another small guy though, and we already got
He is, but he doesn't have to be a running back on game days. He could be the same guy that they've been using.
So then you would carry three running backs, eight wide receivers. Okay, so either way, same number. So you got Kirk Merritt. Okay. Other side of the ball, let's go defensive line.
Ooh.
Agba, Wilkins, Zach Sealer, Raekwon Davis, Jenkins, and Butler. I got six. You agree?
Yes.
Okay. Linebackers, I got seven. AVG, Andrew Van Ginkle, Baker, McKinney, Jalen Phillips, who actually played well today. Riley, Scarlett, and Elandon Roberts. You agree?
Yes.
No Sam Aguavon, no Shaq Griffin. Everyone can't make this team. So.
No, not everybody can make it.
All right.
You're right.
Now, secondary gets a little tricky. I got six cornerbacks, but some of these guys at safety can also play corner, so that's why it's a little tricky. Cornerback, Xavier Jones, Nick Needham, Igbinoghene, Justin Coleman, and Trill Williams. Obviously, Trill Williams would be the one on the, you know.
He's definitely on the bubble.
He's on the bubble. Okay, but I got six. Then it's safety, five, Rowe, McCourty, Holland, Jones, Fedulum.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 53. The only one is Merritt. You would take eight wide receivers, only carry three running backs, which is fine. Here are the last five. I think the last five spots on this team. Pankey, Little, Dokes, at least for me, Trill Williams, and probably Riley at linebacker. Those are probably the last five, which means if we're close to being right here, you know, if some other team were to release someone, who are the last guys to sort of be let go? And I think those are the first five guys out the door after Tuesday. I think those are the five. Notable cuts. Grant, I think his time is up in Miami. You know, he could make the team. He absolutely could. I don't know how they sort of shuffle that wide receiver room. I don't know. But Grant, I don't think he's going to be around. Shaq Griffin, again, just too many bodies in front of him. Although with Vince Beagle now on IR, it helps this case a little, I guess. But you're going to carry Shaquem over guys like Riley, over guys like Elandon Roberts, Scarlett. I don't know. Sam Aguayman, same type of thing, right?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I'll say is, you know, really, maybe a special teams guy if he does make the roster. I was not impressed today with his overall game. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a bottom of the guy roster. I'm not going to talk about it for 5 minutes. He may make the 53 right away because they signed him in free agency, but they also may find someone on the waiver wire that they want to bring in instead.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. Laird, I think he's done. I will say this about Laird. I don't like him at actually a running back, but he can pass block and he can catch the ball out of the backfield as good as any running back I've seen. So Laird's not going to make this team, I don't think, but he can play in this league. Definitely is a third down back for somebody. Jamal Perry is another guy. I would love to keep him. I kind of hope to keep him. I just don't know who you let go, honestly, to make room for him. Jamal Perry, I think, is a very good corner. Jason Strobridge, fifth-round pick last year. It's just a numbers game with him. Ledbetter, Cravon LeBlanc, So yeah, there's going to be some guys. Once again, these are guys at the back end of the roster who, even if they make the team, probably won't be active most weeks. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And I do think they're going to be scouring. Is that the right word? Scouring the waiver wire.
That is the right word.
Yeah. Well, yes. So they're going to be all over that waiver wire for obviously offensive line depth and I think running backs, because that's clearly where they need help. They're very deep at wide receiver. Maybe they can trade somebody. I don't know. They're very deep at linebacker. I don't know if anybody there has any real trade value, though, unfortunately. So those two areas, they're deep. And that's where you're going to see the cuts be a bit painful for some of these guys, because they're going to be wide receivers and linebackers who are let go, who can actually play. And they're going to get picked up by somebody else.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Once the wide receivers' names are on the 53-man roster, we are 100% going to see some of these guys get picked up somewhere else. I mean, I would be stunned to see them get back on the practice squad.
Exactly. And someone like Grant, he's going to be the big name to watch. Grant's the big name to watch here, because what do you do with him? He can't really help you at wide receiver. But as a punt returner, he's great. But you also have Waddle, Malcolm Perry, and you also have Igbunagani now doing kickoff returns. Does Grant have any more value in Miami? He's been here a while. Is his time finally up? I don't know. And that's going to be the one everyone's going to be watching. I don't know if a team will trade for him. Like I said, if so, you probably want to get him like a sixth or seventh round pick, or do something like we did with the Ravens, where you take Grant and we'll swap picks in a round or something. Who knows? I don't know. That's going to be the interesting one, though, that I think Wilson to a lesser extent, because I just know if they let him go, they can open up more space. And if you want to keep someone like Merritt, Wilson, obviously great Wilson, the first couple weeks in training camp. I know Wilson's he was. That wide receiver room is going to be interesting. I don't know how they shake that out. And Tuesday is going to be one of those days where you're going to want to be glued to social media all day to see who's cut when. Most of the announcements probably won't come to after 2 to – I'd probably say between 2 and 4 o'clock, probably later in the day, although they could have some early in the morning. But that's going to be an interesting day Tuesday all around the league, but especially for our hometown Miami Dolphins, who are number one in your hearts and in your head.
Sure.
So this is going to be a shorter show because it was the third preseason game. So I guess in closing time, let's set up here the next week. So here's what's going on. Number one, we have a new feature on our website called the Dolphins Talk Morning Newspaper. Because I know a lot of our listeners are unable to be on social media all day and all evening, like some of our hardcore listeners. And some people are on the go. They're always on the run. You go to our website every morning, and I'm going to try to get up as early as possible prior to 6 a.m. or so, or around 6 a.m. And it's going to be a recap of the past 24 hours, going to have some tidbits, a little bit of trivia fun. It's going to have a fancy football nugget all about the Miami Dolphins. It's going to have a news bit about the Miami Dolphins and the community, what they're doing off the field. And, of course, the headlines from the past 24 hours. It's going to have a link to the most latest podcast on our site. And just sort of a one-page little newspaper for all fans of the Miami Dolphins who might have been, tied up at work or tied up with the wife and kids and all that good stuff, or with the husband if you're a female. To sort of catch up on the last 24 hours. So everyone check that out every morning up on dolphinstalk.com and check out our new newspaper that we're going to be putting out virtually, of course, because nobody actually pays for a real newspaper.
No one pays for newspapers. No.
Unless you're one of those old guys. Nobody pays for a real newspaper anymore. So check that out up at dolphinstalk.com. In the next week, it might be this upcoming week, but it might be the week after, we are going to announce the three winners for the DolphinsTalk.com Military Fan of the Year contest. You still have to Tuesday midnight. So Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. when I stop taking entries. Then I'm going to go through the list of everyone who submitted an entry, and I'm going to do my best to pick three winners. Now, it is difficult because everyone who sent in an email, we thank you for your service first and foremost. Second, I wish I could send all of you two games. I really do. Unfortunately, that's just not possible. You can only send three people to three games this year. So we will have that announcement maybe later next week, but maybe earlier the following week. So be on the lookout for that for our Dolphins Talk Military Fan of the Year. There's also going to be some surprises when we announce those winners of some perks that the winners will be receiving as well, as they deserve it, Tom, because they're our military folks.
Yes. You know, congratulations to the winners when those get announced. It's you guys are going to be in for a treat. Can't divulge what you guys are.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a treat. Yeah. You guys are going to have a blast.
Also, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, I have one question. What the hell are you waiting for, folks?
Yeah.
Go to our YouTube page. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, because here's what's going on in YouTube. We have a couple new shows. We got Finn's Talk Today with Bobby Melendez and Hank, a new show that's going to be only on our YouTube channel. It's the only place you're going to be able to see it. So go to our YouTube channel and see that. Starting next week, Tom and myself are going to have a gambling show. Oh, that's right. And it's going to be a gambling show like you've never seen before. We're going to give you picks, our SEC game of the year, our ACC play of the week. We're going to go NFL college.
Stone
cold lead pipe lock. Bet your wife, bet your kid, bet your mortgage. Don't bet everything. And we're going to have a gambling show each and every week that's only going to be on YouTube. You're going to trust me, it's going to be fun. So you're going to want to see that. All, and of course, you want to get updates on your smart device, your smartphone, every time we do a post-game show or anything like that. So check that out. It's going to be so – and then there's going to be another YouTube-only show hosted by the great Josh Katzker. And a new addition to the website I'm not even going to announce yet. But someone you all know and love, a new addition to our website with another YouTube-only show. So you're going to want to subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube page. And tell your friends, have them subscribe too. Also, we have, as always, podcasts up each and every day, a bunch of new written content. Go to DolphinsTalk.com. Check that out, because as now, the next time the Miami Dolphins play, Thomas, it's going to count for real.
It's going to count for real.
Yep. So there's no more excuses of he looked good, only but it was only against the backups. There's no more excuses of, well, yeah. Guess what, folks? All the time for excuses are over. Everything counts now, and we're going to judge guys, and we're going to be a little bit more harsh this year because the rebuilding era is over. You win 10 games, you ain't rebuilding no more. The bar's been raised, expectations are up, and there's no more handling these players with mittens, especially the guys who are, you know, not rookies, obviously. So we're going to see. And just to circle back, Tom, Jalen Phillips, they thought looked good out there. One thing I want to say about Jalen Phillips, under no circumstance, at least for year one, and I know they're not going to listen to me and they're not going to do this, I do not want to see him drop back in coverage. Year one, just let this kid loose. Let him rush the quarterback. Just let him pin his ear back, not have to think, and just rush the quarterback every stinking time, because I guarantee he will cause havoc and make quarterbacks uncomfortable. Having this kid drop back in the coverage, he doesn't look comfortable doing it. And he struggles. And in a real game, we don't need to see it this year. Let him work on that all year in practice, and maybe next year he can do that more. For this year, just take the shackles off this kid. Just let him go after the quarterback every stinking time he's on the field.
Yep, I agree. Don't overcomplicate things. The guy is really good at what he does, and that's get after the quarterback. Let him do that. Let him be the guy. I understand Brian Flores likes to have the versatility part of it. But let him get down on the line of scrimmage with his hand in the ground and let him get after the quarterback.
That's all you need to let him do this year. Just give him one job. And your job is every time you're back there, find the quarterback and make his life hell. And that's what I hope that – I mean, who knows, though? Who knows? But he did look good today. I will give him credit. Very impressed with what I saw in the Cincinnati game the Sunday afternoon. So – everyone, be sure to follow Tom Earnessy on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. And if Tom's in a good mood or if he's down about some rumors out there, he sometimes hands away Miami Dolphins cards to make himself feel a little better.
I got a beauty. I'm not giving this one away.
But Tom's going to share. Because for those of you who don't know, Tom is a big-time card collector hoping to find that one card so we can retire and move his family to Tahiti. What card we got here? We got a Jalen Waddle Waddle. Is that one numbered?
This one is numbered. This one is numbered 19 out of 49. Beautiful three patch. Look at that.
Three patch. Here's a question for our people out there who are into cards. When it's obviously, if it's like, you know, one of five or one of 10, that's great because there's less out there in circulation. Yeah. What's low number and a high number. Like, so that's one of 49. Is that good? That's if good. It's over like 99, is that like high at that point? Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, there's there's more availability of a card. So normally it goes from like 99 to 149, then 199, then
299. So if it's like under 100, that's a good card.
Yeah, if it's under 100, it's a good card because obviously there's only
100 in circulation.
100 in circulation, and usually it's good. But usually when you get into the low number cards, there's something really special about it. So something like that, where you see the three color on the patch.
Yep.
That's a special thing. Usually when you get down into the single digits, it would be an NFL logo or the Miami Dolphins logo on that, and that raises even higher value.
Nice. Look at that.
You're welcome for the free advice, everybody.
We are here to educate here on the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show because it is still August, and the next time we do a post-game wrap-up show, we're either going to be really, really happy or we're going to be spitting mad. I don't know. But the Miami Dolphins open up the season with the same two games they opened up last year. At the Patriots, home against the Bills. Let's hope we don't start off 0-2 like we did last year and things go better. I do think we'll face Cam Newton week one. I don't think they're going to throw Mac Jones to the Wolves, but who knows? I don't trust the Patriots one bit. That's just a guess.
Yeah, but they're not going to announce who the starter is until it's time for the game. So they're going
to announce at 12 o'clock that day. At noon that day, that's when they'll announce, which is fine. It's smart. Not knocking the guy. That's what they should do. But it probably will be noon. So that's all for tonight's show. Everyone have a great Sunday. Have a great Monday if you're listening on Monday. And we will talk to you again after a while.
Hands up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.